This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Shall we pray for the sermon? Father, we thank you for today. I pray that you will speak to us. We prepare our hearts to hear from you. May your word fall on good ground, where it will bear fruit 100-fold in the name of Jesus. I pray that you may use me as your vessel to relay your message to your people. Father, we wait on you. May your Holy Spirit speak to us, correct us, rebuke us in righteousness, to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, my name is Abanas Kio. I come from Kenya. Been living in the Netherlands now. This is my fourth year. And we thank God for the opportunity to serve. Today I want us to talk about trust and obey. This is the topic of the sermon today, trust and obey. And throughout the week when I was praying for the sermon, the first word which came to me was Saul, King Saul. Then it was not quite clear to me. Then I was praying again in the week. Then I got a song called, an hymn song called Trust and Obey, which says, "Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey." And I also got another song which says, "If he calls me, I'll answer. I will be somewhere working for the Lord." And then I knew what I have to speak about. And I will focus more on the obedience. Throughout the weeks, we have been taught about trust and faith in God. And I will build on that. On the aspect of obedience. The other time we talked about hearing the voice of God and then you invoke a response. Today we want to see what the Lord is saying to us. When he speaks, do we just receive the message and sit on it, or we need to act on the message? My theme scripture is taken from Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 8 to 9 says, this is Isaiah speaking, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me." And this is Isaiah hearing the voice of God speaking to him. And the Lord is posing a question, "Who shall I send?" And then he responds and says, "Here I am." If you read about the story of Isaiah, you realize, like, after hearing the message of the Lord, he works on it. He moves ahead to speak what the Lord had taught him. And I want us to look at other biblical examples like Abraham, King Saul, and then Jonah. Then we will finalize. We start with Abraham. And when you read about the call of Abraham, before he was Abram. In chapter 12, I'll read verse 1 and then 4. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." And verse 4 says, "And Abram went as the Lord had taught him. And Lot went with him." So this is a man by the name Abram. The Lord speaks to him, "Leave your country, leave Netherlands, to a country which I will show you." He even never disclosed it at first. He said, "Leave to a nation that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you." He never knew where he was going, but Abraham feared the Lord. He wakes up, collects his family and tells them, we are going. I know the wife, he never had sons, so the wife and the servants were maybe asking, but where are we going? And you know his response, the Lord will show us, right? I bet that is what he would have said. And then he moves. So he had the word, he never sat on it. He started walking out. And this is a typical example of what the scripture says when Solomon was speaking. He said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So if this guy was to lean on his understanding, like if you tell me, move out of the Netherlands, and then I will take you to Asia, and you never disclose where you are taking me, to me it won't make sense. I need to know at least where you are taking me. But I like the faith of Abraham. He never looked at the unfamiliarity of the place the Lord was taking him, but he looked at the person who was saying it. So if you come to me and tell me something, I might not believe you, but if the Lord says it, the one who said it was faithful. And this is what Abraham put his heart into. Verse 6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So we are not to rely on our own understanding, our own thinking of how things should work, but our total trust should be on the Lord. I think that goes without saying. And then God in chapter 22 decided to test the faith of Abraham. And in chapter 22, verse 2 says, and he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. And I like the way the Lord speaks things. He never gives you the whole plan of how things will work, but bit by bit, take him, go to a mountain which I will show you. There's no mountain in the Netherlands. Here the highest point is Groningen. I don't know. I'm not sure. But he said, to a mountain which I will show you. And Abraham packs his donkey with a son and a few servants. And then he starts going to a mountain which the Lord will show you. And I remember Isaac asking him a question. Father, I can see the firewood, but where is the sacrifice? Then he said, the Lord will provide for a sacrifice. It's really an amazing perspective. How are we going to plant the church in Nijmegen? The Lord will provide. How are we going to run the affairs of our existence in Utrecht? Even when the inflation goes up, the Lord will provide. So, and then they went on. And when he arrived at the mountain, he tied up Isaac. I don't know how this guy was not resisting. I'm not sure whether he was resisting or not. And he wanted to offer him as a sacrifice. And verse 12 says, this is the Lord speaking, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And verse 15, and the angel of the Lord, I skipped verse 13 and 14 because it says take a ram and then offer the ram as a sacrifice instead of your son. And then verse 15 says, and the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So this is the Lord swearing by himself, because there was nobody to swear by who is greater than God. So he said, "I swear by myself that I will bless you." And you realize that by the obedience of one man, Abraham, we got the promise of Jesus Christ. Because when he says, through your offspring, the nations of the earth shall be blessed. It was talking about Jesus. Through Jesus, we would receive salvation freely, because he obeyed the voice of the Lord. He mentions other blessings, material blessings there, but I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the promise. By one man's obedience, we received Jesus Christ, which is amazing. How amazing it is when the Lord gives us an instruction and then we act upon it. And I also want you to check when he says your offspring, like it means shall be the sand, like the sand of the seashore. And this man had a wife who was barren. It doesn't beat logic, right? It looks stupid. So some things that the Lord speaks to us may not look real on the face value. So we need to approach them by faith. Yeah. And maybe to give you a short update, we were to plant a church in Nairobi, and we were to start in the 1st of June, I think, with the service. But then we could not get a place to rent. And the Lord had taught us we need to start in June. If you look at it, it doesn't make sense. You would ask yourself, did the Lord really speak to us? But we know he spoke, and we have faith. And today the Lord was reminding us again that even the people who received the promises, some never had them in reality, but they could see them in the spirit, and they embraced them by faith. And that's how we are embracing the church. Actually, I call it Shofar Nijmegen already, because in the spirit it exists. So let us trust the Lord by faith. The Bible says, without faith, we cannot please God. And I want us to look at the other biblical character, the character of King Saul. And you remember when the children of Israel were moving from Egypt to Canaan, the Bible says, near a place near Mount Sinai, they met a group called the Amalekites. And the Bible says that these men were very wicked. So what they did is, like, because that was a very long journey, they would waylay them, ambush them, and ambush the people who were the weakest, the people who were struggling to move with the rest, and they would kill them. The pregnant women, the young children, they were really terrible. They would kill them. And then Moses and Joshua had to fight against the Amalekites. They won. But the Lord swore by an oath that he would kill all the Amalekites and wipe them out of the face of the earth. That's where the name, the Lord my banner, comes from. And then it took years from the time of Moses to the time of King Saul. And then the Lord gives King Saul an instruction. Because of what they did to you, I want you to go and wipe them from the youngest to the oldest, flock and everything. Burn everything to ashes. That is what the Lord said. I won't dwell on the theological bit. I see some questions in your mind, like, why would the Lord say an horrible thing like that? There's a reason. You can find that in your Bible school one. So King Saul was sent on a mission to go and destroy everything. But he never did it. So he went, looked around the good flocks, like the good cows, the good sheep, the good camels, and then he put them aside. And everything which the Bible says, which looked despised and worthless, he finished it. And he took the rest of the herd and the people and the king of Amalekites and came back to Israel. And Samuel was sent to God. And I remember in chapter 15, the Lord says, Samuel said, like, he was praying for the king for a whole night, crying, why have you disobeyed the voice of the Lord? Because Samuel knew the consequence of disobedience. And then he meets him, and the first thing King Saul says, I have done everything that the Lord commanded me to do. And then the prophet asked him, but I can hear some sheep and cows around. What is the voice of that? And he says, I spared the best to offer sacrifices to the Lord. He was playing around with God, right? And if you read, you realize, like, even this guy had meant a monument for himself. So he was seeking for self-glory on the shadow of offering a sacrifice to the Lord. It was not true. He had spared these animals for himself. He had spared the king for his own glory. And I'll read verse 18 because that is the basis of my message. And Samuel said, the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and defeat to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted Amalekites to destruction. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And we can learn a lot from this. First, he was lying. He was saying, like, he destroyed everything, but I spared some few things to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God. And if you read carefully, even in Genesis, when man sinned, when the Lord asked him, why did you eat of the fruit? He said, the woman you gave me. And every time the Lord confronts us, sometimes we give excuses. He said, but the people spared some things to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God. He never wanted to take blame for what he did. And then verse 22, this is Samuel speaking. And Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as obeying the voice of the Lord, beyond to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of divination, which is witchcraft, and presumption, which is stubbornness, is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. Verse 22, that was the basis of my message. So Samuel tells him, is it of importance that the Lord needs your sacrifice or obedience from you? So this guy was looking at what he could do for the Lord, but not what the Lord had commanded him to do. We can never please the Lord with our way of thinking, of how we think things need to be done. Or you need to be, you do things thinking that you can please the Lord. But the Lord is delighted more on how you react when he gives you an instruction. He says, turn left, you turn left halfway. You have not obeyed. Half obedience is not obedience also. Half obedience is not obedience. And I like the comparison of offerings and obedience. Because you remember during that time, if you gave a sacrifice could do a lot for you. It could atone for your sins. It could change the wrath of God in your life. It could do a lot of things. You could please God through your sacrifice also. But here, the servant of the Lord is saying, even those things are not important. What is more important is obedience. Obedience beats them all. And then he compares rebellion to the sin of witchcraft. And I tell you, when I read this scripture, I was so scared. Because I usually think witch doctors are very wicked. And witchcraft is a very horrible sin. But I realized, if I am rebellious, if the pastor tells me you should not do this, Albanus, and I do it again and again, I am rebellious. He says, this one is a sin of witchcraft. So the Lord sees it as the way he would see witchcraft. And then he says, presumptions. Presumption is when you assume. I assume the Lord is with me. I think he is with me. That is presumption. And then you go ahead and do it yourself. It's like idolatry, worshiping an idol. Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible to say. So there is need for us to obey wholly what the Lord says to us, not assuming. We can never assume. Whether he's saying it through revelation to you, whether he's saying it through the preachers who stand here, whether he's saying it in intercession or through prophecy, there is need for complete obedience. And I took again because the King James, the ESV used different words. I took it from Amplified. It says, Samuel said, as the Lord great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as obedience to the voice of the Lord, beyond to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as serious as the sin of divination or fortune-telling, and disobedience is as serious as false religion and idolatry. May the Lord help us. And the last example is Jonah. Jonah chapter 1:1-2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I received a message and then, whatever. I'm going this direction. And then he ran away. I don't know, but I think there was a problem. There is a reason why he ran away. it's funny how he ran away. And I want us to look at some of the lessons that we can draw from this, from King Saul and Jonah. And one of the one I thought of is, God is not interested in what we do to please him, but on how we react when he speaks to us. Number two, obedience to God should not be partial obedience. Saul was told, go and destroy everything. But then he destroyed some, left some. So partial obedience is not obedience. We need to be fully compliant. And lastly, disobedience is too costly. Look at the life of King Saul. All the glory, all the splendor, the kingship, it was lost. I have rejected you as king. And God was not even rejecting him as king. He was rejecting him as a person. You read there, he was being attacked by demons and whatever, and it took the intervention of David to play so that the evil spirits could leave him. It's horrible when the Spirit of the Lord departs from us. It's horrible. Look at the life of Jonah. He ran away, and then there was a lot of trouble in the sea. Men, even their associates, lost a lot of expensive goods trying to stabilize the ship by throwing it in the sea. It was lost. He was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And the Bible says he was comparing that to hell. So it was a lot of wasted time. And he went back eventually. But if you disobey the Lord, sometimes you may go back, but you realize that you have wasted a lot of time and a lot of energy. So obeying is even easier than failing to obey. You waste your resources, you waste your time, and eventually you do it. So it doesn't make sense. And Jesus was even concerned about his followers. Because he was saying NBC to them, and then they were doing the opposite. And then he says in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 48, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? For everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. So obedience builds your character on God. And even when the temptations come, when funny doctrines comes to shake you, you cannot be shaken because you are built on the rock. Jesus Christ is your full and complete trust. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. So if you build your faith in your own thinking, in your own perspective of life, it's like a man who builds on sand without a foundation. And scripture says the foundation, the firm foundation is Jesus. Jesus is our firm foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The ruin of that house was great. So let us endeavor to build our houses, to start all our life activities on God. If you wake up, start with inviting Jesus to your affairs. If you are going to start a new life, invite Jesus into your affairs. If you're going to get married, the Bible says let the marriage bed be honored. You can't cohabit before you get married. You need to get married first, then you can stay with your wife. That's what the scripture says. But if you build the foundation wrongly, then issues will come. When the winds come and beat against that house, there'll be a problem. That's what the scripture is saying. And James, speaking to the church, he said in James 1, 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So if you hear the voice of the Lord, react on it, not hear that, and then you lift your hands, oh, I was so blessed, then you move out, there's nothing. And I have been seeing that in my, I won't call it former church, my home church in Kenya. Brothers who received the word with so much joy. Then during the week you meet them, it's like they were not even in the service. They receive it with so much gladness. But what they do during the week is completely different from what was preached. So it's like they live by Sunday to Sunday grace. Sunday I come, I enjoy, I wait again on Sunday. So we need to do the word. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and does not endure, he is like a man who looks intently in his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets how he is like. So the word is our mirror. You will see everything, the reflection of who you are through the word of God. So James is saying that we need to do the word. We need to live the word. Not to say I heard, but live it. So I was looking at what odds has Buck, combining all those characters. And I realized some of the things I only listed four. There could be many. So this list is not exhaustive. One is lack of faith in God. Maybe the Lord will give you an instruction to leave your current job and go to somewhere in a village and evangelize. Then you are like, if I leave this job, how will I feed my family? How will I even survive? It's a challenge. It's like being taught to walk on water. And now what comes in mind is the story of Pastor Ndakian and Rene when they were moving from South Africa. I think yesterday you showed us where you lived in Bunik, somewhere. So you live from a very comfortable home, and then you come to rent an Airbnb. It's challenging. But the Lord had really called them to start a church here, and that's why we are even here enjoying the service. So God bless you for obedience. We honor you so much. And I want us to realize if the Lord tells us he will do something, he will do it. If he tells you he will supply, just react. He will do it. It might not be immediately, but the Lord will always show you. And then number two, I looked at it, was our fears and cares and our own judgments. So that's number two. And if you read about the story of King Saul, you realize that he thought by sparing some items to give an offering, he was really pleasing the Lord. That was his judgment. But that's not how the Lord looks at it. So avoid your own judgments that they do not compromise the will of the Lord for your life. Looking at Jonah, I want to say why he never wanted to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was a city in Syria. And so he thought like these people were really wicked. They deserve to be punished. So why would I go to tell them about Christ who saves? They need to be punished for the atrocities, what they have been doing to the Israelites. That was his own prejudices. Like they need to be punished, so I won't go and speak to them. If you walk around the city of Utrecht, you might see some hardcore sinners, and you feel like these guys need to be punished one day in hellfire. But that's never the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is that every man be saved. And I remember in my university days in Kenya, I once went to evangelize house by house. It's not in like the Netherlands. You can just go to a door and knock, and then they will open for you. Here you need to make an appointment. So went knocking. And then I found some guys. They were smoking weed. They were really drunk, and they were really heavily built. They had beard. I looked at these guys, and my heart told me, these guys can never be saved. And then my friend was speaking to my ear, should we just go? And then we told them, sorry. It's like we had missed the room, so we went outside. And then the Lord convicted us, we need to go back. And then we greeted them. And these guys, surprisingly, they were very welcoming. And they were willing to receive the word of the Lord. They were like, we are really important. We drink because we have nothing to do. It was really strange. Same thing happened the last year when we were challenged to go and preach in Utrecht with a group of UK nationals last year. So we found some guys smoking weed. So I remember I was with a lady from the UK. In my mind, I thought, like, these guys, you look at them and then you are scared. But they were really open. They were asking questions. How can we get transformed? Can we really stop this addiction? Yeah. So let us not allow our own judgments to affect the way we do the work of ministry. And the other character, if you look at Abraham, if Abraham looked at his age, he would not have believed God. This guy was 100 years. And Romans, Paul said, his body was as good as dead. And Sarah's womb was as good as dead. But he believed God. He believed, like, the one who promised me a child is able. And I remember I follow a lot singers from my country. One singer who is around the age of 50-something. She was saying, like, they got married and they finished, like, 10 years without a child. And then she was past the conceiving age. But when the Lord decided to bless them with a child, he blessed them in their 50s. Because the Lord doesn't obey what science says. So it was really beautiful to see the story of Abraham and the story of that couple. So the Lord can really do anything. And the things that he does are beyond the ordinary explanation. And then the other one is our pride and arrogance. You remember that statement which Saul said, I have fully obeyed the commandment of the Lord. That is pride. I have fully obeyed. And I remember even in chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, when he was told, he went to fight against the Philistines, and he was told by Samuel, wait for 7 days before I come to make a sacrifice. But he waited, and then he felt like, this guy is not coming. So he went ahead to make the sacrifice himself. So, yeah, that is arrogance. Like, just obey. And that's the first scenario you see him being rejected as king. And the last one is the warmth of our comfort zone. I must tell you, like, it's not super easy to leave your comfort zone. It's where you have your friends, you have your family, you have everything. You feel like, I feel stable. Like there's some point in your life you may feel like it's a time of stabilization, and then the Lord challenges you to do something and you feel, but it was my time now to relax and enjoy. So the Lord might challenge you to go out. So in the small group, one of the persons mentioned a very important thing. She said, the Lord does not call the qualified, but he qualifies those he calls. So if you feel like that thing is not made for me, I have oftenly heard people saying, evangelism is not made for me. It was not supposed to be made for anyone. It is for all of us. So the Lord will qualify you. Will qualify you as you go. First, go. Start a conversation, and then the Lord will help you in the midst of the conversation. So it's a challenge. Challenged for you. And when I was praying this morning, I felt that the other thing which holds us back is relying on the way we are used to doing things, which might also relate to comfort, like your culture. This is how we do things. This is how things are done here. It's not a bad thing to have a culture that you subscribe to, but if you are not careful, it can become an hindrance of doing the work of the Lord. And I remember the Lord sharing with me of the time when they completed the ark, the temple of the Lord, and they were ministering, giving sacrifices, and Solomon was their leader that time. And when they were singing praises, the Lord's presence came so heavily that the preachers could not preach, the ministers, the priests could not do anything. And the Lord was reminding me that when we fill ourselves completely with his presence, then how we do things change. These guys were used to standing in the altar, doing all this manner of things. But when the Lord came, they could not do what they were used to doing. But they were there worshiping with the other people. So it was a change of how they did things. And the other one he was giving me was Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5:24, it says, Enoch walked with God for 300 years, and he was seen no more. The Lord might not take us when we walk with him so much. But he was implying that we need to walk with God daily in communion with him, that our self, the self that is not willing to react to him, will be taken away. That me, Albanus, the accountant, is taken away, and the renewed one, the spiritual man now, is the one working with God. So it is a transformation that comes from the inside out. So I realized the issue in my church, where people hear the word and it never changes them, is that they receive it at face value outside. But if it was transforming them from the inside, then the outside would reflect what is inside. So that is the transformation that the Lord requires us, a transformed heart that can obey the will of the Lord. And now as I close, my time is gone. What should we do? I have touched on it, like we need to walk with God that our self is taken away. The human behavior is taken away. And the issue of faith and our own judgment, I want to read from the book of Mark, chapter 9. This was a man who had a son who was possessed with a demon. And then he comes to Jesus and tells him, I brought my son to your disciples, and they were not able to cast the demon out, his own judgment was like, these men possibly are not able to do it. And I'll show you why there was a judgment. Let us read verse 22. Says, the demon is the man now explained. The demon has often thrown him into fire and into water, intending to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus said to him, you say to me, if you can? So the judgment that these 12 men could not cast out the demon affected the judgment of this man on Jesus. If you can do it, can. If it's a question of probability. So his judgment was like, if his men, his followers cannot do it, maybe he can, maybe it's not possible. Then so Jesus asked him, if I can? So he said, all things are possible to him whom believes and trusts in me. Immediately the father of the boy cried out with a desperate, piercing cry, saying, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And this is one of the things which has really helped me in my life. When the Lord tells me to do something that I feel I cannot do, I feel like in my own self I'm not qualified for this, I tell him, help me to overcome my unbelief. This is my prayer for us, that the Lord will help us to overcome our unbelief. If he's saying, you need to move, I am sending you to Nijmegen, and you don't believe it, that he will help you to overcome your unbelief. Maybe he's sending you to another nation, and you feel like you are not qualified for the job. Let him help you to overcome your unbelief. Maybe you are looking forward to moving out of a relationship that is not godly, and you feel like, what will happen? Can I find love? Yes. The Lord can help you to overcome your unbelief. If he says you cannot be unequally yoked with the sinners, and you feel like there are no born-again people who are coming to me, or there are no ladies who are born again, the Lord can help you to overcome your unbelief. That is my message. And my parting shot for us is Romans 6:16, which says, Do you not know when you continually offer yourselves to someone to do his will, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either slaves of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness, the right standing with God. If you continually hover yourself to do something, you become a slave to it. If you continually disbelieve, you can become a slave to disobedience. But if, on the flip side, if you submit yourself to hearing the voice of the Lord always, you become a slave to God. And that is what God wants us to be, a slave to him. A slave does what the master says. So I'm looking forward that my being will be like a slave to the Lord, completely sold out to him. So let us trust and obey. God bless you. We will pray, and then I will invite the worship. Father, we thank you for speaking to us this evening about obedience. And this obedience comes from trusting you 100%. At times we have so little faith. Father, I pray that you will help us to overcome our unbelief. You have called us to be like you, to fear you, Lord. Not fearing of being scared of you, but fearing out of reverence and honor and respect of what you speak to us. We do not want to face the dire implications of disobedience. But I pray, Lord, that you will help us in our unbelief. Help us to obey your voice, that when you call us, we will answer.
When you rebuke us, we will be corrected. When you tell us it's right, that we will not go left, that we will not be partial, be having partial obedience, but full and complete submission to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for us that you will help us through your Spirit. We cannot do this without the Spirit of God. Lord, fill us. For those of us who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will work in them, the works of righteousness, to do your good will and obey your voice. In Jesus' name. And before we finish up, if you are here and you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you want to make the decision, if you have heard the voice of the Lord and the Lord is telling you need to obey and accept Jesus, so I present this opportunity to you. Could you raise up your hand? Then we can pray together. Even those who are watching online, so we can pray this prayer. Father, we thank you for the raised hands and the conviction in the hearts of people. I pray if there is anyone who is praying, Jesus, Jesus, come into my heart, that Jesus, you will go into their hearts and that you will bring change in their lives. In Jesus' name. And for those of us who are struggling with disobedience, either because of those factors that I have mentioned, it might be conscious or unconscious, I invite you for prayer, and Akian and Renee will be on that side praying. May the Lord bless us so much.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.